Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends. Welcome back to Burning Hearts. It's the middle of the week here. Congrats, you made it through, halfway through the week, and we're still in the Easter season. We're still celebrating the joy of Easter. We have been reading about Pentecost and in the daily readings, reading about Acts, living in the power of the resurrection. And so this week, if you haven't been joining us, we're going through kind of the most famous sections of John chapter 3. We're discussing Jesus's powerful conversation with Nicodemus. And we spent the first couple days, the first day really talking about Nicodemus is this powerful Jewish ruler, and he goes to Jesus in the cover of the night. And I think you can probably find it on YouTube. There's like a scene, of Jesus and Nicodemus meeting on the rooftop of the Chosen, and it's the dark of the night, and it's a really beautiful, powerful scene. So you can YouTube that, but it's like he's going to him in the cover of the night, asking him the deepest question of his heart. Which for a Jewish person at that time who was waiting for the Messiah, that question is, could he be the one? Could he be the one that we're waiting for? And friends, this is the question that we live with the answer to. This beautiful question that's answered, it stirs something up in my heart. Friends, Jesus is the one. He's the one who was, he's the one who is, he's the one who is to come. He's the one that your heart longs for. He's the one that your heart waits for. He's the center of human history. We talked about that quote from Pope John Paul II. He said another thing. He said, it is Jesus that you seek in your dreams. When you dream of happiness, it is Jesus that you seek. He is the one you're looking for. And so that question from Nicodemus echoes to us. It echoes to our hearts. Thousands of years later, because we ask it, it's deep in our hearts, who is this man? Because we're looking for him in everything. And then we talked about being born anew, being born again by the power of the Spirit, that there's a new way of seeing that we need to come into to see the kingdom. We need to be cleansed and we need to be regenerated. We need to be washed of our sins and we need to be made into a new creation. And that's exactly what you are, friends, a new creation. And this is Jesus preaching the gospel. This is the heart of the gospel. John 3:16 is the heart of the gospel, but so is this, that yes, God so loved the world, but every person needs to enter in through Jesus. Amen. So let's go ahead and pray. And then we are going to get back to these verses, because by the end of the week, we really want to make it to John 3:16, and I promise that we will. So in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have made us new by water and spirit through the power of baptism. We thank you that you've shown us the way. And we thank you that you are the one. You are the one who is, you are the one who was, you are the one who is to come. And we thank you for answering that question in our hearts. We thank you that you are the only one found worthy. We thank you that you are the one sent by the Father. We thank you that you are the one who comes to save us. We thank you that you are the one that our hearts long for. We thank you, Lord. And we ask that the Spirit of God would make us desire you as the one, that our hearts would be open to receiving the full gospel. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we left off there, Jesus saying, that which is born of flesh is born of flesh, but that which is born of spirit is born of spirit. So we left off there through verse 8, I think. And so we're going to start in verse 9, right? So chapter 3, verse 9. Nicodemus said to him, how can this be, right? How can somebody be born of water and spirit? Jesus answered him, are you a teacher of Israel and yet you do not understand this? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven but he who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And whoever believes in him may have eternal life. I'm just going to read it. I'm going to continue going on, and then we're going to break it down. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God sent the son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does what is true comes to the light, that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been wrought in God. There's so much good stuff there. And that second half, we're probably not going to get to today because we got a lot to get through in these rich, rich verses. So Jesus tells Nicodemus, you must be born of water and spirit. And Nicodemus, how can this be? Jesus says, aren't you a teacher of the law? How do you not know? And it's kind of funny because it's like, Jesus, like, this seems like hard stuff. But what Jesus is getting at is not that he doesn't think Nicodemus is intelligent. He's not mocking Nicodemus. I think I used to read it like that. I used to read it like Jesus saying to Nicodemus, like, you're a teacher of Israel and you don't even know this. But he's pointing out that even amongst the Pharisees, even amongst the teachers of Israel, even amongst those who know the law, that there's something is missing, and that thing is faith. He's saying, you don't understand this. You yet don't understand this. He's getting at because you don't have faith. And he's saying, you see, you're not going to be able to believe in these supernatural things because we're witnessing to you what is in the natural, and you don't even believe what we're witnessing to you in the natural. So how can you believe in heavenly things? How? You can't believe it on your own might. You can't believe it with your own mind and your own strength, not because it's unreasonable, but because it takes the gift of faith. And this is something so interesting that I'm seeing all over the culture, friends. I was listening to a really interesting interview of a journalist that I really like. She's a secular journalist, but she's really like on a search for truth. And she famously left the New York Times because of their journalistic dishonesty. And she, you know, published this letter for it. And it was a big thing. And she's really been on a genuine search for truth. And she's been doing this series on her podcast about, like, does the West need religion? Does the West need Christianity? And she had someone on there, and they're talking about this. And they're talking about, like, does the West need Christianity? How important is Christianity? And it's talking about, like, is it reasonable? Does it make sense? All this different kind of stuff. And it was an interesting conversation, but at no point was the gift of faith mentioned. At no point was the center of this thing is not just the good that it does for society, not just it makes sense, not just all of these different things, but that it's about faith in the only Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. And it's like this trend of saying, oh, we apply Christian principles to the world and people want to be Christian because they want the principles, but they don't necessarily want the faith part. And faith is a gift. And Jesus is saying, Nicodemus, this isn't a thing that you can just get there on your intellect. This isn't a thing that you can just add up and make it all make sense. You need a new vision. You can't even see what I'm laying out in front of you in the natural. So how are you going to see heavenly things? Christianity is about heavenly things affecting earth. And so we need to invite people into an encounter of faith. Into faith, into walking in faith. We need to invite people into faith so that they can see in a new way. Okay, that's like one sentence, right? Verse 13, no one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. So Jesus is saying, no one has gone up to the Father except he who has come from the Father, me. And the Son of Man is referring, Nicodemus would have known this, the Son of Man is talked about in Ezekiel, is prophesied in Ezekiel. Ezekiel also refers to himself as the Son of Man. But we also see the Son of Man prophesied in Daniel. One like the Son of Man coming down on the clouds. Daniel sees an amazing vision of the coming of the Anointed One, and he calls him the Son of Man. So he's saying, no one has ascended into heaven, but he who has descended from heaven. And Nicodemus would have believed the Son of Man descended from heaven. And Jesus is saying, I'm him. I'm the Son of Man who has come down from heaven, who has come down on the clouds, the one that Daniel was speaking of when he was in exile. You know him. You know about him. Nicodemus would have known. He said, it is me. And then as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. This comes from the Old Testament. The Moses lifting up the serpent in the desert. This is from a passage in scripture. And actually, where is it? It's in, I think, in Numbers 21, where Moses makes a bronze snake. And the people are being attacked in the wilderness, and they need someone to save them. It says, the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and mount it on the pole. So anyone who is bitten by a snake looks at it and he will live. So Moses made a bronze snake and mounted it on a pole. If anyone who was bitten looked at the bronze snake, he would live. So the Israelites are wandering in the desert. They're wandering around and they get attacked by snakes and they're bitten by snakes. And what does God tell Moses to do? He says, take the snake and put it up on the pole so that the very thing that bites, that is hurting the people, can heal the people. And so Jesus comes and he says, just like Moses in the wilderness. And again, Nicodemus would have known this. It's not like Jesus is telling him a story that he doesn't know. Nicodemus would have known this. So he says, the Son of Man must be lifted up so that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. And so just like the snake in the wilderness, Jesus is speaking of his own death. So Jesus will be lifted up on the cross. He'll be pierced. He'll be marred. He'll be wounded. He'll be killed. And our punishment, our curse, is death. Our curse, we're wounded. We're dead through sin. But when we look at the one who's lifted up, his wounds, his death, the very thing that curses us, heals us. His death heals us. His death sets us free from death. His wounds heals our wounds. That's exactly what the serpent in the desert does. And so Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, just like the serpent in the wilderness, I will be raised up. And when you look at me, if you have faith, you will have eternal life. And again, we talked about this when we talked about John chapter 11, the raising of Lazarus. Like, whoever believes in me may have eternal life. What's on offer from Jesus? Again, this is why he is the one. This is why he is the central question of the human race, because we're dealing with a death question. We're dealing with the question of where do we go? What happens? What do we do? We're dealing with a death question, and he gives us eternal life. He's saying, what happens here? This is why you need faith. It's a new way of seeing, because when you enter into the kingdom, what you get is not a better life, but eternal life. Eternity with me. That somehow, somewhere through the power of God, through the death of the person of Jesus, there was life and resurrection. We are given eternal life. Whoever believes in him. And this would have been mind-blowing for Nicodemus. He comes and he says, teacher, are you the one? He's saying, you need to be born anew. Friends, we need a new way of seeing. We need a new way of living. We need to be washed and regenerated so that we can believe in the Son of Man who's lifted up, because he wants to give us eternal life. Amen. Join us again tomorrow as we finally get into John 3:16, into the heart of this passage, and continue to talk about John chapter 3. Join us tomorrow. God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.